I love to see young people with a heart for the Lord. The children, Alex and Jack, a good illustration, and then the teens. Actually, where we're headed tonight with the thought, the lesson, the message, if you will. We're going to end up in Philippians 4, but before we get there, I want to take you, just, it really doesn't have anything to do with the message, it's just something I saw in God's Word. I wanted to show you 1 Chronicles 13. Let's start there. This is just going to be a little nugget, little commercial before we get to the message. I saw it was an encouragement to me, thought I would share it with you. I'm going to talk to you tonight about a message or a lesson entitled Raising Another Generation. You say, well, this is not for me. I don't have any children in my home. This is for all of us. God has called all of us to reach and raise, if you will, and invest and influence in another generation. Now, while we have children in our home, it's very obvious as Christians that God has given us those young Christians to disciple and to bring up for His glory. But that's not the only time we're supposed to be seeking to see another generation reached and trained and discipled for God's glory. That's a lifelong pursuit. That was Christ's commission to the Christians, to His disciples, to the church. Go preach, baptize, teach. What is He saying? Go reach another generation, teach them, raise them up in the Word of God. How do we raise another generation? And so it's actually not the passage we're going to end up looking at in Philippians has nothing to do with marriage or parenting, although we can apply it there. It's really in the Christian life as a whole. We as the church, we as God's disciples. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, this is talking about that time when Uzzah touched the ark of God. They weren't supposed to touch it. They had all the rules of the ark of God, and he touched it, and he was put to death. And we come in verse number 13, 1 Chronicles 13, verse 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And there's so many things you could pull out there. But verse 14, as I was reading this week, the thought, I saw this, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. The ark of God was a picture really of the presence of God, the word of God, the power of God. It was God's presence was there in his house. It was permeating his home. And notice this, the second half of verse 14. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. And I thought about, as we're looking at this family seminar, some biblical principles for our lives, for our homes, for our families, for us as Christians, whatever that means. And I saw that verse, that passage this week. The ark of God, while God's presence was there, while their focus was on God, the word of God, the presence of God, the Lord blessed the house. When God's presence permeated their home, their family was blessed. I want God's blessing on my life and my family. And that's just an aside, just a little verse that I thought I would share with you. But moving over to Philippians chapter 4, we'll get to tonight's thoughts and message quickly. Philippians chapter number 4. And as I mentioned, this idea of raising another generation, I'm consumed with that thought. I want to see my life influence another generation for God's glory. I'm consumed with it just as a Christian. I want to reach other Christians. That's God's commission to me. That's God's plan. We'll get there in a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and talks about this idea very quickly. All of us ought to have 4 generations of Christians in our spiritual tree. Paul talked about that. There ought to be 4 generations in our lifetime, at least there in our spiritual tree, so to speak, and not necessarily biological, spiritual. But also I'm consumed with reaching people, and I'm not as consumed as I should be. I want to be more consumed with that. But this idea of reaching other people, I'm consumed with this idea of raising another generation in my family. God has entrusted 5 eternal souls to our family. One of my greatest desires in my life is, beyond many other things that might be an endeavor or a passion or a desire, I could fail in a whole lot of other things, but one of my greatest prayers is that God will use me to invest and to influence those 5 children to grow up to embrace God and His word and His plan for their lives. To raise another generation in my home. In our church, you've heard me talk about it since I got here, passionate about raising up another generation. The children's ministries, the youth ministry. But it doesn't just mean young people reaching out. And I don't want it to be a social club that we all enjoy. I want this to be a place that impacts our area with the gospel and our church reaching and raising, if you will, another generation. I don't want for those that are in our youth group and those that are in our children's programs and those that are in our Christian school, for them to just be around the things of God for 15, 16, 17, 18 years, and then they leave it. I want them to embrace it and to grow, and I know that you do as well. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night if you didn't have a desire for those things. In God's word, there wasn't, as far as it goes with raising up another generation for Christ, there weren't many that were more mightily used than the Apostle Paul. As far as it goes to reaching and planting churches everywhere he went, sometimes in the span of just weeks, there were churches established where he had been. Within several weeks, he would have reached enough people that now they had a core group for, and that's amazing. Not always in that way, but he would go for a short period of time and go here and reach and reach and reach and teach and train and raise up another generation of Christians. Paul mightily used in reaching and raising another generation of Christians, planting churches and through his missionaries' journeys. And those that Paul influenced were great in number, and then they in turn were great in their influence. We are told that very likely because Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles, you can trace the fact that you and I have the gospel back to Paul's missionary journeys, back to Paul's earthly ministry, and Paul's influence reached extremely wide as Paul raised up and really reached kind of the first generation, if you will, or second generation of Christians here in the New Testament. And we're going to learn some things. How did he do that? We're going to begin in Philippians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, so he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church at Philippi, writing from prison. Dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. By the way, there's a great, and we're going to get there a little bit later maybe, but just in that one verse, you can tell one reason Paul was so great at reaching people was just the love he had for people. Paul dealt with hard issues. Paul corrected things. Paul took strong stands, but it flowed from this unbelievable love for God and love for people. And you can correct some things and you can take some strong stands and you can, when people know there's a great love. And we'll get to that in a minute, but you see a lot just from Paul there in verse number 1. Verse number 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I believe he's working on some division there in the church. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Here he is, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He's coming to the end of his letter to the church at Philippi, and he's trying to give them some things to keep them on the right track. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul's giving them some formulas here, how not to get discouraged, how not to get off track, how those things that are bothering them, how to take them to God, and God will keep them rooted and planted in him. Verse number 8, finally, coming to the end of it, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now would you read verse number 9 aloud, and this will be the text for our thoughts tonight. Verse number 9, ready, begin. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is encouraging God's people to stay faithful to God. These younger Christians, these people that he had reached, that he was raising up. He goes and he's finishing off, and we could continue on in Philippians 4, but he's finishing off and he's encouraging them to stay faithful, which is what I want for my life and for my family. And I was communicating with a friend of mine that was a missionary, and just today I was communicating and found out that about my age, somebody that I love very much and care care for. And a fairly good friend of mine just found out today that no longer doing that in their family. And I don't glee. I told him I prayed with him and those types of things. But I look, and that could happen to my family. I want to see my family stay faithful. I want to see this church stay faithful. I want to see us stay where I want to see your family grow up and another generation raised for God's glory. I believe that in that verse that I've sung that verse with my kids, there's a scripture song that we sang. There's a funny story with our family with that verse on a family vacation one time. I've read it before, but I believe if we look at it a little bit closer, there are some things that we learn about the Apostle Paul. One of the reasons why God used him to raise up so many more people for Christ. I believe there's some things that we can infer from this verse, that we can pull out of this verse and we can apply in our lives on why Paul was so effective in passing down his faith. And again, that is your commission and that is mine. No matter what your family looks like, our commission is to pass on our faith. If you have children, your commission, more than providing a nice home, more than providing good clothes, more than providing a good life, it's to pass on your faith. I believe we're going to find some things here why Paul was so effective in passing down his faith. Notice it says in verse number 9, those things which ye have both, and then he goes on in the next word there, he says, ye have both what, church? Ye have both what? Learned. I would infer from that, number one, Paul taught thoroughly. You don't learn something that wasn't taught to you. And so when Paul is not going to command them those things that you learned, Paul knew very clearly that they knew what the way they were supposed to live. How did he know that? He had taught them thoroughly. You know, it's not fair for those that follow us, for us to get upset with them when they don't do when we have not taught them. We have not trained them. Well, why don't you do this? Why do you always? As parents, as Christians, it at work, as a supervisor, whatever it may be, Paul taught thoroughly. You just look through the epistles, the Pauline epistles that he wrote. What is Romans? Incredible teaching and doctrine. It shows us Paul in Romans was laying out this incredible doctrine. May I ask, in our churches and in our homes, how much doctrine are we teaching thoroughly? I got convicted about this a few years ago in my own life as a dad, before I was a pastor. Before I was the pastor of the church, and I got convicted, I need to teach my children doctrine. Paul, we wonder why young people, we try to entertain them in church and make it fun for them and go to this camp, and I'm not against camps and this conference and this activity and that, but we're not teaching doctrine in our churches across America. And we wonder when they grow up, they don't understand what they believe, they don't understand why they believe it other than my mom told me I had to. They don't understand where it comes from, God's word. And then we wonder why we don't have another generation. Paul said those things. I know that I spent time teaching you what you need to know to live the Christian life. Those things that you have both learned, I know that I thoroughly taught you. What did Paul do in Corinthians? He corrected sin. He taught them how to deal with it appropriately and how to properly love within the church. In Galatians, he taught the error of legalism and warned against false teachers. What was Paul constantly doing everywhere he went? He wasn't just leading folks to Christ, although he was doing that. He was then teaching them thoroughly. Just because your children or just because our family or just because someone is saved does not mean we're done. We have a responsibility to teach thoroughly those things which ye have both learned. In Philippians, what he taught in the verses that we read, verses 6 through 8. You could preach a series of messages from verses 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then, brethren, whatsoever things, just in those three little verses right before, that's some amazing principles for Christian living. Paul was constantly teaching. May I ask us, how are we doing with that in our Christian lives? Go. Preach, baptize, teach. Who are we discipling? It's one reason I told Brother Doug, my prayer is that we're starting discipleship 2 Wednesday nights after Brother Skelly comes back next Wednesday, then the next Wednesday after, he's not coming back, folks, all right? And 2 Wednesday nights, we're starting discipleship. I told him, my prayer is we have the biggest group of discipleship in the history of the church. Why is that? Why? And it may not happen, I don't know, but that's what we're shooting for. Why? Because it's our job to teach. It's our job to get people grounded in God's word. And who are we teaching? Who are we discipling? Or is it just, well, I've got it? How are we training in our own homes? How are we intentionally teaching and training? What does the Bible tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2? And the things, Paul said, which thou to his son in the faith, Timothy, hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Nolan, Jackson, and Ben, come up real quick right here, real fast. Jump up right to the front. All right, Paul's saying now, the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, the things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's God's plan for teaching thoroughly. I find somebody, I invest in him. He learns from me. I teach thoroughly. He invests in him to a level that he's strong enough in his faith to invest in him. You guys can be seated. That's the four generations of spirituality. May I ask you, as I had to ask myself, how am I doing in that? How am I doing in that in Christianity? And by the way, if you're a new Christian or you've not been taught thoroughly, sign up for discipleship. Be here for a connection group. As you are on a Wednesday night, be here on a Sunday morning, Sunday, so that you can grow, but and you're a baby in Christ, so that you can grow in that. You might have been saved for 15 years, 20 years, and still be a baby in Christ. But you grow, and once we get to a certain maturity, the goal as an adult is for someone no longer to need to bottle feed me. Now I have children of my own, physically speaking and spiritually speaking. He taught thoroughly. He took time to thoroughly teach those under him. As parents, we are doing our children a disservice if we don't have regular times of training, of teaching, of Bible teaching. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Open God's word. Talk to me. I'll give you a plan. Simple things where you just open up and read a few verses and cover those things and get a book and maybe a book that age appropriate, where they're at. Teach some simple truths of God's word. Paul, why was he so effective in raising up another generation? Those things which you have both learned, he taught thoroughly. It takes time to teach thoroughly. It's not easy to write an epistle. But Paul took the time to write to the Romans, to write to the church at Corinth, to write to the churches at Galatia, to write to the church at Ephesus, to write to Timothy, to write all the half of the New Testament, more than half, Paul wrote. Or why? He took the time to do that. Why? Because he wanted to see another generation raised up for Christ. It seems very often, myself included, we sometimes outsource the teaching of our families to other people. Well, I'm not against a Christian school. My kids are in it. I'll pay for Christian school. I sure hope they can teach them. I'm going to be in the youth group. I sure hope Brother Ryan will teach them. I'm going to send them to conference and camp. I sure hope they get something there. And I do too. My kids go to all that. I hope they get something there, but the primary responsibility comes back to me, and I am failing if I am not teaching. And it doesn't always have to be a message. You know, it's Thursday night church. Sit down, kids. We're having a 1 hour. It can be you're just training, you're teaching, you're showing, and we're going to get there in a minute, sometimes by our lives more than our words. But do you thoroughly teach those others? He taught thoroughly. Notice verse number 9. You're listening well. Those things which you have both learned. And what's the next word there, church? And the next verb there, you have received. I wrote down, secondly, he gave generously. He gave generously. Those things which you have both learned and received. There was something Paul gave them. In Acts chapter 20, we're going to turn there at the end. Actually, you don't need to turn there now. Paul talked about how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. I gave everything I had. I gave generously. I gave of myself. This one thing I do, Paul said, I press toward the mark, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. My whole life is consumed with giving you Jesus. My life is consumed with giving you what I know, with pouring my life into yours. If we're going to impact somebody else, we are going to have to sacrifice our needs, our wants, our desires, and say, I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you. He talked about, I cease not to preach and to teach both night and day. What is he saying? I gave of my time generously. I sacrificed. I didn't live for myself. Is it any wonder that God used Paul to impact so many people when he laid down his life and gave himself to so many people? We live in a selfish society, don't we? Even our churches, it's become about us. We live in a consumer church culture. If you read the blogs or whatever, they'll call it the attractional church. It's all about how do you attract people out there, and what do they mean by that? You're doing things that, come over here, we've got this for you, and we've got that for you, and we become takers and not givers. Paul said those things which you have both learned and received. And may I say, people, we will not impact people until we are willing to give of ourselves. True life change does not happen without the giving of ourselves. You've heard it said before, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You impress people from a distance, you impact them up close. Paul impacted people, why? Because they knew that he cared. We saw that in verse number one. He gave everything that he had. He gave up his power and position in the Jewish religion. He gave up that he was a very powerful man. He didn't care about any of that anymore. He didn't care about his position. All he cared about was knowing Christ and sharing Christ, giving of himself. It didn't matter if it meant he was going to be beaten and shipwrecked and stoned. It didn't matter if he was going to be imprisoned. He didn't care as long as there was another generation being raised up for God's glory. Is that our passion with those that God has put into our lives? Notice verse number 9, those things which you have both learned and received. And what's the next verb there? And what? And heard. Number 3, he instructed intentionally. Those things which you have heard, he instructed intentionally. May I say this? Paul was not afraid to address a challenging situation. Paul withstood Peter to the face. Paul went up to the council at Jerusalem to deal with false teaching, to deal with legalism. Read it in Galatians. Paul was willing to go, and he was willing to address in Corinth. He dealt with their sin in the church. There were people in moral sin there in the church, and Paul dealt with that with those that he loved. Paul was not afraid to talk to them about sound doctrine and false teachers and immorality and things that they shouldn't do, and to stand firm. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul dealt with issues, and may I say, there's going to be a time, if you and I are going to raise up another generation, that we're going to have to deal with those things that might be uncomfortable. As a parent, I'm not against you being friends with your children, but being their friend is not priority number one. Being their now we don't need to be enemies either. The Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath, but being their parent is more important than being their friend. And may I say this? If you're their parent when they're younger, they'll become your friend when you're older. Sometimes in our society, this permissive parenting, I might hit on this a little bit next Wednesday night in the final week of the family seminar that Kurt Skelly started last week. I might talk about this, but in our society of permissive parenting, we want our kids to like us. Oh, Paul, but what did Paul say? Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He dealt with issues, though he instructed intentionally. If there was something that needed to be dealt with in every book, Paul dealt with it. And Paul then told them, those things which you have both learned. I know I taught you that stuff. We can't say to our kids when they graduate, they move out of our home, they graduate from our churches, or even new Christians, 30, 40, 50-year-old that comes to our, they've been here for a month, for 6 months, for a year, for 2 or 3 years, and then we wonder why they, and some people just leave, but we wonder why they wander off. Did we teach them thoroughly? Paul could say to them, hey, the God of peace will keep you. You just keep following him, but I know I taught you the right stuff. Can we say that about those that we influence? Those things which you have both learned. I know I taught you thoroughly. And received. You know I held nothing back from you that was profitable. I gave everything I had to you to impact your life. And that's the only way you are going to impact someone's life. I gave everything. I gave generously and heard. I instructed intentionally. And then the last one that we're going to see from Paul here. Notice what it says here. He says in verse number 9, and received and heard and, what does it say there, church? And seen in me. He provided a pattern. And seen in me. Notice this, Paul didn't just say, do what I told you. He said, follow me. What does it say in Proverbs? My son, give me thine heart. Son, let me influence your heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Who you are, speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. How's our example? We want to raise up another generation of Christians, of committed, passionate, faithful Christians that love God's word, that know God's word, that love sharing God's word, that stand firm on the principles of God's word. That's our goal, right? That's what we want to do as Christians. How's our pattern? Paul could very easily say, just whatever you saw me do, just do it. Sometimes I've used this as a joke, kind of, but it's true. Unfortunately, I've said, you know, they say that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I've jokingly said, I sure hope my kids fall, their apple falls closer to their mom's tree than mine. She was, you know, the perfect kid growing up. I wasn't. But the truth of the matter is, as parents, as Christians, as church members, could we say to those that we influence, the things which thou hast both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do those things. How would the church be if everybody did the things that they saw in your life? How would our family be? How would the, and by the way, most of the time they will. They're going to do the things that they see in our lives. He provided a pattern. With his life, he showed them how to live the Christian life. What did he show them? Notice verse number 12. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. Skip down to verse 18. But I have all and abound. Paul said, I know how to be blessed, I know how to be in blessing, and I know how to be in poverty, but I have everything I need. And where was he writing this from? Prison. You know what Paul's doing? He's giving them a pattern of how to live the Christian life. He couldn't tell them Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, if he didn't tell them Philippians 4:18, I have all and abound. I'm not just telling you to rejoice, I'm showing you that I rejoice in prison. I'm suffering for Christ. I'm not quitting. I'm suffering for living for preaching the gospel. I'm not going back to the Jewish religion. I'm suffering for this. I'm not suffering at all. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And I have everything that I need in this cold, dark prison cell. I have everything that I need in this dungeon. I have everything that I need. What is Paul? He's giving them a pattern for the Christian life. And may I say to you and to me, very often more is caught than is taught with those that follow us. And the way that we live, again, it's been said there, who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Could those that are under us say that? Do they see the Christian life in us, a sincere pattern, example of the believers in word and in deed? And then the last verb here we see in this statement, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What does it say there, the next word there, church? Do. Those that follow us in raising up another generation, they have one verb, do. We have four, teach. Now, I understand he told them, but we have teach and give and instruct and show, provide a pattern. We want those that follow us to do, but we don't want to do the other four. We want our children to do as I say, not as I do. We don't want to do the other four. We want the Christians sitting around us to do, but we're not willing to sacrifice anything to invest in their lives. We're not willing to inconvenience ourselves at all to reach someone else. Boy, I sure hope somebody in Orange County brings a friend to Liberty Baptist Church on Friend Day. I sure hope somebody tells somebody else about how to go to heaven. But are we willing to give generously so that they can hear? And I'm not even talking finances right now. I'm talking about of our lives. You could say in finances, are we willing to give financially? But that's not a financial message. Why? I believe one reason we see in this verse was Paul so effective. I'm consumed. I don't want this thing of loving God, of serving God, of Christianity to die in my family with me and my kids. To be honest, for me, one of my prayers is that God would allow me to see my children embrace God and their faith enough that they pass it on to their children. To me, that is, I have truly passed my faith on when it's real enough in their lives to give it to their kids. I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about that for our church. I don't want us just all to grow old together. And if God tarries and gives us strength in life 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, we're all the same people still here. I want to raise up another generation. And Paul did that in an amazing way. And I believe some of the secrets, if you will, are found here in Philippians 4:9. Those things which thou hast both learned, I know I taught you the right way, and received, I know I gave everything I had to you, and heard, I know I instructed you, I dealt with some of the things that maybe you didn't want me to deal with, and seen in me, those things do. And then he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. turn over if you will, and we'll be done. It's 7:59 and 56 seconds. Acts chapter 20. Just where were we? We were in Ephesians, maybe, what is that? Four books back. Acts in chapter number 20. We want others to do, and we're not willing to follow Paul's pattern of the fourfold responsibility. Before our children are going to do, how are we doing with teaching and giving and instructing and providing a pattern? Notice Acts chapter 20, verse number 20. Paul, we see this pattern again. He says in verse number 19, he's talking about how I serve the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Verse 20, and how I kept back nothing. What do we see there? He gave generously. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have what, church? Showed you. He provided a pattern. And have what, church? Taught you publicly. He taught thoroughly. And from what, church? House to house. He instructed intentionally. Taught publicly, teaching thoroughly, preaching the gospel, house to house. I'm going to come and I'm going to invest in you up close. We see that exact same pattern, Philippians 4:9 and Acts 20:20. How are we doing with intentional training in our homes? How are we doing with intentional training in our, Brother Ryan, I appreciate his spirit and his love for the teens. We were talking about this, and he's on the same page with me, and we were talking about the fact our goal is not just to provide a fun alternative to the world that doesn't have alcohol and drugs. That's not the end all. Brother Ryan is not his job, his primary focus is not to be the greatest activities director that ever existed. He's a youth pastor. And we talked about this, the need for preaching and instruction. We've got to keep that focus there. And we're going to have fun. I went with the teens to youth conference. I went with the teens to teen camp. Brother Ryan's a fun guy. He worked in Mr. Mayor. They're wonderful. But in our homes, the goal is not how much fun can I provide. That's not the ultimate priority. How much can I give them a better life than I had? I want to make their life more comfortable and easier and safer. I'm not against safety, but that's not our priority. Our priority is raising up another generation for Jesus Christ. You're not going to do that without teaching thoroughly, without giving generously, without instructing intentionally, and without providing a pattern. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's try to raise up another generation for God's glory, shall we? Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray your blessing upon that which we've heard tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that the thoughts that we've heard, we would carry with us. Lord, you know, as I prepared for this message tonight, I was convicted in my own life, in my own heart, as a Christian, and Lord, as a pastor, as a father, and even as a husband. Dear God, so often I live so selfishly, and help me, dear God, to get my eyes off of my needs and my plans and my goals. And dear God, help me to keep my eyes on the commission you gave us to raise up another generation. Help me to follow Paul's pattern in Acts in chapter 20 and Philippians in chapter number 4. Keep back nothing that is profitable, but show them a pattern and preach publicly and teach publicly and from house to house, intentionally investing and instructing and generously giving and thoroughly teaching and then showing ourselves a pattern. Help us to live these things and understand that I believe much of why Paul was so effective can be seen in here, and help us to apply it in our homes. God, I pray that there be families that because of tonight would have more training time. Parents that would understand more important than getting their kids the new bike or the new shoes or the new video game console is providing them with an understanding of God and his word, making sure that they're in church, getting them to church whenever the doors are open, spending time in prayer with their families inside their homes and growing in those things themselves and learning. And God, help us not to be distracted and help us not to be intimidated or scared because we don't think we weren't trained for that. Help us, dear God, to see the need to raise up disciple-making disciples that very quickly, Lord, we would see in our lives and in our families and in our church four spiritual generations. I pray these things in your name. Amen.